Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. And this is the best animated shows ever. So far. Where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever eventually. Based on its first three episodes, that is.
No, we don't always say that part.
No, but I have to for this one because of how this episode ends.
Yeah. I mean, with that, right? Like, we're going to dive right into it. We're talking about Exo Squad, season one, episode three, Hidden Terrors. Which picks up right where we left off before. Exo Squad's out there, the Exo Fleet, rather. The whole fleet's out there, way out in the distant reaches of the solar system, trying to fight off pirates, MC.
Pirates, yeah.
And I guess we basically just get a lot of action here at the top. And the action is them, like, attacking the surface of a moon. And they're like, man, we're just destroying them. But meanwhile, the pirates instead are like, just you wait. We will eventually be victorious.
So this is really weird. They're out there. They're like kind of winning. And then they get recalled. And then the fleet gets caught in the pirate trap. And then they send the A-frames back out.
Yeah, so the fleet is like, we got this beat. Let's just move in and blast them from orbit even more. I don't know why they have to move in more. It seems like they're already blasting from orbit, whatever. But they get close enough that now the pirates' cannons can shoot at them. And they're like, ah, shoot, we gotta like send in the E-frames instead. And they specifically send in drop troops, which are basically Mandalorians, I realized watching this episode, because they're just dudes with jetpacks. And the E-frames. And they all get a shooty shooty space battle. It's all very good and stuff until the pirates start retreating. And Nara Burns, who's in like this fast mobile suit, is like, I gotta follow him. I'm gonna miss my opportunity. I gotta follow him. And then gets knocked unconscious and she gets kidnapped. She's abducted now.
Yeah. It's a really weird episode.
Yeah, because here's what's weird about this episode is while this is going on, we get these random cuts back to Phaeton, and he's like going to Mars because some financial minister called him up and was like, dude, there's so much money missing. What's going on? We're all going to be so fucked. And Phaeton's like, nah, we're not going to be because I'm the one who's been hiding the money because I've been building a massive military. And then it just cuts back to the stuff happening with the pirates for a while.
Yeah, and we just got to accept that Phaeton's like built this massive thing, that this massive infrastructure on Mars to create weapons for war, and he's taking the opportunity of...
First he says it's weapons for protection.
Yeah, to that, to the guy who was their accountant, I guess.
Yeah, he's some financial guy.
Yeah. And Phaeton's like, no, come look at this. Look at all these war machines. We can just tell Earth to, you know, catch a ride.
Yeah, he's like, we need to be able to, like, defend ourselves in order to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to the pirate stuff. More pirate stuff happens. I want to deal with all of Phaeton's stuff here. Because more pirate stuff happens. And then we cut back. And that guy's like broken into Phaeton's computer by guessing that his password is Destiny. And finds out he's like, this is not for defense. This is a bigger fleet than the Exo fleet. Like, Phaeton's preparing to go to war. And then I think we come back to the pirates and do more pirate stuff. And then we come back again. And Phaeton's like interrogating the guy and is like, who did you tell? And he's like, nah, nobody, man. And Phaeton's like, listen, we're totally going to kill everybody. And he's like, dude, war sucks, though. Didn't you learn last time around? He's like, nope, going to have a war. And then I'm pretty sure that guy gets killed. I've been listening to the Exo Squad Goals podcast, MC, as I watch the show, because I finished the first season, MC. And I've been listening to their podcast, and they point out that a regular thing that happens in this show is a character that is like probably a bad guy, but not totally a bad guy, will get walked off screen by two soldiers and then never heard from again.
Oh my God.
And it happens often on this show. We don't see this guy again. He gets walked off screen by two soldiers and we don't see him again.
Oh my God. The underlying message. Oh my God. That's so frightening.
Yeah. 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 Anyway.
Oh.
Okay, now we can go back and deal with the pirate stuff. No, we can't. MC is concerned.
Yeah, no, I want to talk about Peyton. Like, straight up, he's like, kind of right in some ways about Earth being oppressors and, you know, them being slaves, and you sort of, in that situation, you need to stand up to, like, those people and, like, be like, hey, no more. But at the same time, the way he's gone about it is probably not the best way.
It's reminiscent to me of Killmonger in Black Panther, where it's like, listen, Killmonger, you're not the most evil villain in the MCU, because like, yeah, like you're right. But also like, can we take a step back? Like, I see where you're coming from. I get it. But can we take a step back from what your plan is here? Because your plan, Phaeton, is to go to war with humanity. And that's a lot. So anyway, Nara Burns has been captured. And J.T. Marsh and his crew are like, we got to follow him into the ice caves and find him. But, oh no, MC, the pirates have super cool cloaking technology that can make holographic cave walls. And then they stand behind the cave walls and shoot them. I think. Is that what was happening there?
I'm pretty sure, because they could see out, but they couldn't see in. They were just, like, shooting through the wall and destroying all these ships when they got into the right position. The A-frames.
E-frames. Did you say A-frame? Or did you say E with an accent?
Yeah, no, I've definitely been saying A-frames.
They're E-frames, because they're exosquads.
Okay.
So they're all trapped in a cave, and it's a kill box at this point, and they're like, what are we going to do? And then, for some reason, Nara Burns is in the pirate's headquarters, and she, like, knocks out the hologram projectors. Way to go, Nara Burns! And then the pirates are like, all right, well, screw this noise then. We're gonna like break the life support system in here and peace out and leave Nara Burns to die. But just before she dies, JT Marsh and Marsala get in there, and Marsala gives her his helmet because he's a Neo-Sapien and he can survive in this atmosphere for a while, I guess. And you see Nara Burns is passing out and she's looking at Marsala and she's like, I'm into it.
Oh, aren't we two different species at this point? Isn't that a little bit weird?
I mean, they're just big blue humans with four fingers and three toes. I'm seeing like episode 12 of this series, there's a female Neo-Sapien. I don't remember ever seeing a female Neo-Sapien before, and I was like, wait, what?
There was one in the first episode.
Oh, that's right. In the car with Phaeton. Yeah. That's right. In the limousine. I'd forgotten about her. I just assumed since they're bred and breeding pods or whatever, that they were just all
men.
Non-gendered, that they just existed. Oh. Anyway. So they end up, the Nara Burns gets back onto the ship and they're all back on the ship and they're heading off to their next assault on the pirates. And Nara Burns is, she's looking at a picture of her family, her farm. Her family farm back on Venus, MC. She misses her family so much. She misses her farm so much. And she's like, JT Marsh, I miss my family so much. I miss my farm so much. And he's like, it's all right, man. It's cool. Like, we all miss our families back home, but we'll probably see them again and they probably won't get killed. And he's got a broken arm, so he can't go out into combat. So, oh, and the Admiral got hurt. So there's two people in command of the Exo Fleet. There's this Admiral who's cool. And then there's like whatever one step below Admiral is, who sucks Captain. And he's an asshole and he's a jerk and I hate him.
Commando.
And the Admiral got hurt. And so now the commander's in command. And JT Marsh is hanging out on the... Yeah, he's super bad. JT Marsh is on the bridge and he's like, that's a good strategy, Commander. And he's like, shut up! Quiet on the bridge! Nobody talk while I'm commanding! And then as they're starting their attack, they get a call from back home saying, oh my god, Exofleet, you gotta come back. It was stupid of us to commit every single military resource that we have to a campaign that's way far away from home because we left our home planets entirely unprotected, and now they're being attacked by a massive Neo-Sapien attack. And JT Marsh is like, this is messed up. We got to go back. And the commander's like, we can't. It's not real. We got to fight the pirates and stuff. And then JT Marsh like shoves him aside and issues a command. And is like, everybody get back here. We're going home.
Yeah. And then he whispers, if there's a home to go back to.
If there's a home to go back to. We skipped over seeing the attack because we actually see it. This is what's messed up. The first thing we see of Neo-Sapien's attack is goddamn Nara Burns' family farm on Venus, where the brother is hanging out on a tractor with her dad, being like, oh, it's a good harvest this year, eh, pal? And he's like, yeah, it's a boy, it's a big harvest, it's a big, big place on the band that you're playing right now. And then he's like, I'm gonna go get some water here, pal. And he jumps off the tractor and he's heading towards the house. And then an E-frame of a Neo-Sapien E-frame shows up and just explodes the whole house. And he's like, my mom was in that house. And then he's like, Paul, mom was in that house that just blew up. And then the tractor blows up too. And you're like, well, shit. So much for Nara Burns' family, farm, and family, because they just died.
That was a great Venusian accent that you just did.
Thank you. I've been practicing it in the mirror. Did you know what else? Did you notice what else the Neo-Sapiens attack MC?
No.
They attack the Sydney Opera House.
Oh, do they?
Aliens fucking hate the Sydney Opera House MC. Every time aliens show up, they gotta attack the Sydney Opera House.
I remember them flying in front of some sort of mountain at some point and like discs in the ground.
Yeah, they just do all kinds of carnage because they have enough of a fleet that they are doing a simultaneous attack on Earth and Mars and Venus all at once.
Yeah.
And the Exo fleet is nowhere to be found because they're out fighting pirates. The end of our review of Exo Squad, because that's where this episode ends.
Super downer.
Super downer. We will talk some about what happens in the rest of the series. We did last episode too, but we'll talk some about that when we get to our comments here. But first, MC, we've got to do the best and the worst first with the worst first. And I'm going to go first. And the worst for me, it's actually kind of a good thing, but it is the way in which this show is so not a kid's show in that, like, they're like, we really need the children to watch this show to understand the horrors of an invasion on your home planet. So we're going to spend 3 episodes telling you how much Nara Burns loves her family and misses her family farm on Venus so that we can murder them and you just have to deal with it. Have fun, kids.
Oh,
it's messed up.
Yeah, it's really messed up. My worst thing was the kind of creepy leader of the pirates.
Simbaka.
Yeah, Simbaka. He was... Do you agree, like, this episode he was, like, super creepy?
He was being weird. He had a very, very big attitude about everything. He, like, at one point he's like, there's an ancient earth proverb about the easy prey comes to the spider who waits. And he says it like that, where he's, like, doing a pirate accent. I'm like, you don't have to do a pirate voice, Simbaka. We know you're pirates.
I think it was, there was just something off about it.
What about your best thing?
I gotta say, like, just like the whole depiction of like, hey, this isn't like a bright sunny future. This could be like a really dark sort of path humanity could go down. We might want to consider not doing these sorts of things and consider how we've treated other people. Like,
maybe don't make a slave race.
Yeah.
Oh, MC, I have things to tell you. But first I have to tell you my best thing, which was when they were in the kill cave and the holographic walls were up, Bronski just like lost his mind because he's like, why are the walls shooting at me? And just started firing like every gun on his exo frame at once. And it was great. Just,
yeah,
I love Bronski. He's so ridiculous. MC, I have to tell you things that happened in the first season of this show that I finished watching today. But before that, we have to go to these messages.
Hi, I'm Evan, and I sure enjoy me some podcasts.
Wow,
this podcast sure is enjoyable.
But sometimes, life has a little bit more pegged on for you than what you thought.
Oh man, is that a missile?
I'm okay.
ThoughtsCast, part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Podcast Network.
And we're back.
We're going to check our mail soon, but MC, first I have to tell you about some stuff that happens. First of all, 5 episodes in, Earth is screwed up. People are staring at Earth. I think I've mentioned this to you before. It then jumps to a year later. Did I tell you that before? It just skips a year.
I think it might, maybe? Yes.
So messed up. And then the rest of the season is them like going to Earth, doing some stuff, getting into some nonsense, going to Venus, getting into some nonsense there, and then taking the attack to Mars, where they blow up a breeding facility that's like where there are thousands and thousands and thousands of Neo Sapiens being bred, and they blow up the whole goddamn thing and kill all of them. And then, MC, in order to blow it up, the way that they blow up, it's in Olympus Mons. And so the way they blow it up is they fill the cockpits of their E-frames with all of their munitions and then push those into the lava. So they have to blow up all of their E-frames in order to blow this facility up. And the only one they keep is Marsh's, and he's going to get everybody out. But then his gets screwed up in the escape. And so it starts to fall into the lava because it's like all broken and shit. And JT Marsh says like, thank you, old friend, or something like that. And then the exoframe says, you're welcome, or something like that. And he's like, wait a minute, I wasn't plugged into it. How did it talk to me? MC, the fucking E-frames are alive.
Oh my God. What? They have artificial intelligence?
They have artificial intelligence, which comes up earlier, but the only way they can communicate with them is through the direct link. But then he's not linked up and it's still talking to him. It's freaking alive. They created another slave race.
But, oh my God, that's messed up.
Oh my gosh, this show, MC, this show. Also, Nara Burns totally wants to have sex with Marsala in the last episode. The very last episode, she starts to fall while they're climbing up Olympus Mons, and he catches her, and she's like, you saved my life. And he's like, well, you saved mine. And she's like, oh, hee. And then it does a close-up on her face and has those blush lines under her eyes, just so you know that she totally wants to bone down with Marsala and make it explicitly clear. Should we go check the mail?
I think we should.
Is it time for mail?
Mail.
Let's check the mail.
Mail.
The first piece of mail I want to talk about is a direct message I got from somebody in response to our post on the Exo Squad subreddit. I just want to shout them out. I'm not going to say who they are, except I'm going to say, hi, MC. Not you, them, because they messaged me and they're like, my name's MC. And listen to your podcast, and I keep getting confused because you say MC, and I'm like, what? And so hi, MC. But this time, I mean you, MC. Hi. We got some
also
feedback.
Also, hi, MC.
We got some feedback on the Exo Squad subreddit, which I had loaded up on my iPad so that we could talk about it. And then I hit a back button, and then I try to tap on it again. And now it's saying that there's a server error, but don't worry, I've fixed it. So we have a couple of comments here. The first one I'm going to say is from an endless SSSSSS1. I think I said too many S's, but you get the point. They say ExoSquad is an amazing show, but the first three episodes, it's hardly started. The whole arc of the show takes a while to really get cranking, maybe 10 to 15 episodes before it really hits its stride, which we've talked about before. Yeah. Plenty of shows where that's the case. But we can't, if we tried to watch all of every show, MC, there'd just be no time for anything else.
Maybe one day we've talked about going back and watching key episodes or something else to really expand on the idea of the show. So we can go back and reconsider where it's ranked. The only one that I don't want to do that for is Zelda.
Yeah, please don't make us watch more Zelda. Then we have a comment from Tauros Prime, who says, one of the things that solidified ExoSquad as being something unique in my mind was later in season one when, okay, well, spoilers, the Resolute is destroyed. So for context, MC, there are several exo carriers in the fleet. Thanks to poor decisions by that commander in the next few episodes after what we've watched so far, most of the fleet gets wiped out. And so there's now very little fleet left. And like everything happens on the Resolute, which is the main carrier that's left. And then it gets destroyed in episode 11. It's just, they blow up the ship. I was telling Becky about it. I'm like, this is like if they blew up the Galactica halfway through the first season of Battlestar Galactica. And you're like, wait, what? Okay, so they go on to say, they repeatedly set major plot elements on board the ship and established it as a major part of the Exofleet, and then destroyed it. It was like Star Wars having the Millennium Falcon destroyed. It showed they were willing to go all in with the long-form storytelling and establish that actions have consequences and that things won't be better next episode just because they run down the clock this episode. Even later, in season two, where stories become somewhat more episodic, the individual situation was resolved at the end of an episode, but things didn't go back to normal in the next episode. Very often, the end of one episode was the setup for the next. I like that. That's something we see in anime a lot, but rarely in Western cartoons. MC, I forgot to tell you that when the Resolute blew up, it was partially because of Commander What's-His-Name that I hate so much making bad decisions, but Commander What's-His-Name didn't abandon ship. Instead, he sent everybody else off of the ship because he realized that there's no way the ship was going to survive, and he sent everyone else off and then flew the Resolute into enemy forces as a distraction to buy time for everyone to get out, and then blew it the hell up in the middle of an enemy fleet and wiped out the enemy fleet. Children's show.
I mean, good, comeback arc for that guy, but also bad that they lost their main ship. And
yeah,
but I mean, kind of messed up as well that he like just kamikaze'd into like a fleet of ships.
It's children's cartoon for children.
Yeah.
JV Chamber says, ExoSquad still ranks as my most favorite show of all time. I remember watching the episode where Kaz is trying to hunt down a Neo-Sapien pilot, but they end up teaming up together to save some refugees. I haven't seen this one yet. The Neo starts walking away at the end, and Kaz pulls a gun on him. Kaz says the cliched line, "Don't make me shoot you." Something we've all heard in uncountable movies, TV shows, books, and games. The Neo-Sapien replies, "No one makes you do anything. The choice to pull the trigger is yours, and you have to live with the consequences." I began watching the show differently after this episode. Suddenly, I was aware of the Neo-Sapien plight and understood that there are more than two sides in every story. The fact that there is no true black and white has held with me throughout my life and especially my career. I work in law enforcement. I never want to forget this lesson. As far as the haircuts go, I asked about their favorite haircuts. Okay, we'll talk about haircuts in a minute. First of all, I appreciate that. And obviously, you know, we're in a fraught political time still. Things are looking up, but still fraught political times. And I think it is very good for somebody with a career in law enforcement to be keeping in mind that there is no black and white, because I think that that is what leads to a lot of police brutality issues, is just this assumption that, like, well, the person who was brutalized was bad, so it's okay. And that's just never okay. Did I address that sensitively enough?
I think so.
Okay. Okay. On to haircuts. As far as the haircuts go, I definitely had JT's haircut up into high school. I also have a thing for women who sport a cool Exo Squad style haircut. The show is a huge part of my young adolescence life, and I haven't let it go. I keep an original animation still of JT above my bedroom door. Yes, my wife is okay with this. It's a reminder for me to be my best. I also have an animation background of a moon baser from Jupiter, which helps me hopeful of what we fleshy monkeys might one day achieve. I love all that. Thank you, JV Chamber. I have one more MC. This is from Tweak Zero. I grew up watching this show and playing with the toys. I rewatched the whole series a couple years ago, and it holds up pretty well. It's like a kid's version of Battlestar Galactica. My favorite episode is The Brood, Season 1, Episode 11. I remember watching it as a kid and never having seen anything like it before. It deals with lots of high concepts like betrayal and loyalty. Previously, a captain, Marcus, leads a mutiny against the admiral and leader of the humans, Winfield.
Yeah, Commander Marcus does a mutiny before he does the kamikaze run.
The admiral and his allies are thrown into a holding area. Marcus, a hardliner, decides to lead a full and immediate attack to retake Earth. He approaches the crew in the holding area and tries to shame them into participating in the battle, and Winfield, Maggie, and Kaz argue about what is the right thing to do, but decide they have no choice but to participate. But their plan is found out, and the human fleet is surrounded and ripped to pieces. Everyone evacuates, but Marcus stays on the bridge, even when Kaz is sent back to rescue him. He wants to have Winfield, who he feared never being able to live up to, watch as he drives their flagship into the midst of the enemy fleet and self-destructs, crippling their fleet. Then, to end the episode, De Leon and Marsala stumble upon birthing chambers, where we get to see Neo-Sapiens being born and then killed immediately, if not perfect. I added the immediately. Born and then killed, if not perfect, and recycled as they build a new population to replace all the humans. De Leon wants to destroy them and leave, but Marsala seemingly betrays him and calls the guards, saying he has to protect his own people. In episode 11, Marsala betrays the Exo Squad MC.
Fair enough.
And he says his favorite hairstyle character in Exo Suit were always Sergeant Rita Torres, second in command of Able Squad. She's a badass and has the hair to match. This show MC.
It's dark at times.
I love it so much, but I can't imagine watching it as a kid. Like, MC, there's a scene set in the Martian Interrogation Institute or Interrogation Center or something like that. There's a whole building for goddamn torture in this children's show. And they go there and show someone being tortured in this children's show. Torture's not for kids, MC.
No, it's not. And I don't really think this show was for kids either.
Yeah, it seems more and more like it wasn't for kids, huh?
It really seems like it was for like young adults. And
yeah.
Maybe this show was before its time.
I think that is accurate. I would be very interested in like a modern take of it. I think that would be very cool. Well, let's see.
Keep the haircuts.
Did you say keep the haircuts? How dare you?
Yeah. If they remake it, they have to keep the haircuts.
Oh, okay. We had one more over on Twitter. John Ferrier said, I was 17 when Exo Squad came out, so I was never into the toys. It feeds in my teenage rather than childhood nostalgia. Exo Squad was a truly astounding show for its era. There was nothing like it on American animated TV. They also say they really liked the character of Sean Napier. He's a self-destructive failure until he has to save the world. In the worst possible crisis, he finds his niche and matures. You haven't really seen much of Sean Napier yet. He becomes a big player.
You mean the racist guy who wouldn't shake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The drunk racist cop becomes, like, less terrible. And also, John Ferrier really likes Sean Napier's hair as well. All right, MC. I think it's big list time.
See, you've seen a lot more of this than I have.
I have seen more of it than you have, but our plan is always to rank the show on the first three episodes.
Yes, but I want you to give me a range like I normally give you instead of the other way around.
Okay, well then I need you to read me what the list is. You have to do my job.
I'm just doing the top 10 and then saying what the last show on the list is, because that will give you how many we have. So at number 1 we have Batman the Animated Series, 2 Samurai Jack, 3 My Hero Academia, 4 Dragon Ball Z Kai, 5 Batman the Bold and the Brave, the Brave and the Bold, I should say. I keep getting that mixed up. 6 Dragon Ball, 7 Gargoyles, 8 Rurouni Kenshin, 9 Darkwing Duck, and at 10 it's the original X-Men from the 90s. And then at 30,
we've seen 30
The Legend
shows.
Of Zelda. Yeah,
this is our 31st show.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thinking about the era this came out in, X-Wing, Gargoyles, X-Wing? X-Men. X-Men and Gargoyles are both kind of in that era. And yeah. I liked this first season, and I liked these first three episodes better than X-Men. Did I like it more than Gargoyles? I mean, Gargoyles is, like, I really love Gargoyles.
Like, yeah, I've gone back and started watching more episodes of Gargoyles.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure if I'm going to go watch more of this show.
You know what? Well, right below Gargoyles is Rurouni Kenshin. And I definitely like this more than those first three episodes of Rurouni Kenshin.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely do as well. Because I think that show gets better further on. But for what we've seen for this show, I think it might be better than Rurouni Kenshin.
Yeah. So above Gargoyles is Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball is very good too.
No, yeah, no. That I reckon Dragon Ball is better for sure.
Yeah, I think I would slot it in just under Gargoyles. And
so in at number 8.
Yeah, and my reasoning is exclusively because I think Gargoyles has a better handle on its tone. Like,
yeah, it's dark, but it's not this dark.
It is child friendly dark, whereas this show is not really child friendly dark. It's this show's a little wild, and it this show also has like Justin talked about last episode. It has those 6 minutes every episode where nothing really happens except for the ships fly around looking cool. And yeah. Gargoyles doesn't really have that. Gargoyles has episodes that aren't very exciting. I think that, like, I respect the show a lot for having the ongoing story, but I think I like Gargoyles just a tad more. So yeah, let's put it in the number 8 slot underneath Gargoyles. I think that's pretty good. And then MC, we need to pick a fantasy show to watch next. We had suggestions on Discord as well as on Twitter. Do you want to pull up one of those and I'll pull up the other?
I'm on Discord.
Okay, perfect. I have Twitter pulled up, so that works well. I actually put the first one on the list on Twitter, which is a show called Blood of Zeus. That is a new anime from... have you watched this, Blood of Zeus?
I've seen it advertised on Netflix, but I have not actually seen.
It's from the same studio that did Castlevania.
Oh, yes. We've talked about that, didn't we? I know I've heard that somewhere.
I might have mentioned it. Maybe. Anyway, what else do we got here? Tyler says, He-Man. Well, actually, Tyler says, I said, hey, yeah, with the appropriate He-Man GIF attached to that.
On Discord, Eric has suggested Pirates of Dark Water.
I know nothing about Pirates of Dark Water.
Neither do I, but it looks ridiculous.
Tyler says Disenchantment is okay. I mean, I guess I'll put it on the list for now. I don't know if we're going to cut the list down at all, but Disenchantment is from the creative minds of Futurama, but I watched the first episode and was not super thrilled by it. Ooh, Eric also suggests Thundercats.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I know of a few.
Yeah, feel free to throw some on here.
So I'm just going to go onto my Crunchyroll. So there's a new show called Demon Slayer that I've seen. I'm not sure actually how new, but it's an anime.
Okay.
And I've seen 10 episodes of it.
Is the one you're talking about. Yes. Here's a suggestion from Kyle. Is King Arthur and the Knights of Justice. Knights of Justice. And
I don't know how we can go past one anime. It's called Fairy Tail.
Okay. Justin Aki, guest from last week, suggested David the Gnome, which I only know from the GIF of David the Gnome throwing up a rainbow, which is what he's attached to that suggestion. And that's 9, so I'm gonna add one more on there to make it an even 10. I'm gonna say the Jackie Chan Adventures, I think, counts as a fantasy.
Yes, because of the whole the whole subject is fantasy, like
it's Asian like mysticism.
Mythology, yeah.
Mythology, that's the word I was looking for. Come to life and stuff. Yeah. Alright. That's a list of 10, MC. Blood of Zeus, He-Man, Pirates of Darkwater, Disenchantment, Thundercats, Demon Slayer, King Arthur and the Knights of Justice, Fairy Tale, David the Gnome, and Jackie Chan Adventures. MC's got his green D10 in hand. He's giving it a roll.
5.
It's a 5, MC. Thundercats!
Oh! Yes!
I haven't watched Thundercats in a dog's age.
Same.
MC. I haven't. MC. Yeah. In a dog's age.
Yes, I got that joke. I remember the figurines as kids, and I remember watching the show a lot. But what I remember more than anything were the plastic sword with the Thundercats logo, and like it was just crappy plastic swords. You'd like hit something a little bit too hard and it would just be like bend and it would just be floppy forever. do you remember those?
I don't know if I had one of those. I feel like my friend Ben had a Thundercats sword. I'm not sure. Thundercats was 1985, so this is pre-Troy. I genuinely don't remember watching a lot of this until I think Cartoon Network started airing it earlier in the day than Toonami, and so I would watch it there. But I have not watched much of Thundercats. I'm very excited, MC. Is this... It's not... Okay. My memory of He-Man is that it's terrible, and it's just there to sell toys. That was also my memory of Exosquad, and I was clearly very wrong about that. On a scale from He-Man to Exosquad, where do you think that Thundercats is going to end up?
Ooh, Gargoyles.
Okay, which was above Exosquad, so that's a tough scale.
Probably a little bit less than Exosquad, to be honest, but yeah. It's like, no, well, you see, Gargoyles also didn't, like, go full on the sell the toys.
Mm. That's true.
I feel
there were
like,
toys, but it wasn't, yeah. It didn't feel like a commercial.
Yeah. I feel that's kind of my memory of Thundercats, is like, it's a show, and they kind of sell toys, but I don't remember it being like, hey, you can buy this toy as well, like, you can get your favorite characters. It, also, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that was kind of the same thing, where it's like, yeah. It's going to sell toys, but it doesn't feel like a commercial the whole time. Well, MC, then I guess we'll be back next time to talk about Thundercats Season 1, Episode 1, which is called Exodus Pilot Part 1. It is not a 5-part story. It's just a 2-part story to start it off. I was worried we were going to have another 5-part.
We get a whole story?
Huh?
We get to finish a story before we finish the show? That's nice.
I know. It's amazing. I started just casually perusing the Wikipedia descriptions of these episodes we're going to watch, MC, and I'm not going to tell you much about them, except for that it doesn't fill me with a lot of hope that this is going to be good, but I hope that it is. But it sounds pretty miserable. But we'll find out next time when we watch Exodus. We'll watch Thundercats Exodus. So until next time, MC.
Don't change the channel.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.